You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Been talking a ton about Saints football. Now we're going to get into a little LSU conversation. Joining us now, Glenn West, the senior writer at Go247.com. Joining us, Glenn, how's it going, man? How's the Baton Rouge practices treating you over there?
I'm sure around the same temperature as the Saints are treating y'all. So, it's been great. Got two practices in. Got another full practice viewing tomorrow for media. So we're in our infancy stages of fall camp, but it's been a lot to digest so far.
Yeah, before we get into some of that, I know today three-star defensive lineman Darius McKinley committed to the LSU Tigers, joining his brother in purple and gold. Talk a little about the defensive lineman now that's coming into this class for the Tigers.
Yeah, this is a prospect that LSU's been on for several years now. He got a chance to watch his big brother, Dominic McKinley, go through the whole process, and he's been around LSU's campus a ton over the last couple of years. Really solid athlete, a guy who started out as a four-star on most services, has kind of dipped a little bit in those rankings over the last several months or so, but a guy who had a lot of Power Four offers from teams like Texas and Ole Miss and lots of Power Four, SEC type of teams. So it's a talented guy. It's somebody that mixes in well with the defensive line group that they've already brought in. And honestly, this is one of the better defensive line classes that LSU's had if they're able to hold on to all these guys since I've been covering the team. I mean, you've got five stars, Lamar Brown and Trenton Henderson, who are committed. You've got Richard Anderson, who's committed, who's a top 70 player in the country. DeAnthony Lafayette is a young prospect who is really kind of rising up the rankings here in the year 2025. So they've done a really nice job of building out this defensive line class, and might not be done. There's a guy by the name of Deuce Gerald who'll be committing tomorrow, and LSU's very much in the mix there as well.
You know, Glenn, I'm just going to keep it vague here. What has stood out to you? Like, is there any kind of prevailing observations over the first few days of practice? Obviously, there's not a ton you can take away this early, but what's kind of stood out to you so far?
Sure. I think probably the depth at wide receiver and along the defensive line have been kind of the things that stood out to me in that first practice. How it was set up, we got to watch the whole first practice for LSU, and then the next day we got to watch about 15 minutes. So all together, we've probably seen about an hour and 15 minutes of LSU football this fall so far. So you don't want to make any sweeping judgments, but the wide receiver group was really, really good in the first day, and they've just got so many guys that they can go to in this offense. Nussmeier was really spreading the ball around to guys like Berrien Brown, Xavier Thomas, Chris Hilton, and then a guy who had a really big day that maybe wasn't talked about a whole ton this offseason was Destin Hill, the Florida State transfer. You know, everybody talked about Berrien Brown and Nick Anderson as the kind of the two big gets for them at wide receiver, but Destin Hill had a really good first day from the 7-on-7 and certainly in the 11-on-11 periods as well. So I just think there's an embarrassment of riches there from a pass-catching perspective, and we got to see that on full display. And then the defensive line did a really nice job of slowing the run game down for LSU's offense in that first day as well. So some good starts there on both sides of the ball, but we'll be excited to see kind of what happens tomorrow when we get a full two-hour practice to watch these guys go at it.
Yeah, what are your expectations for Chris Hilton this year? And obviously, fifth-year senior, dealt with injuries last year. He's healthy now. We did hear from him at the SEC Media Days. But is he a guy that you feel like could kind of step in? Because it feels like there's always one of the LSU always has, when they're good, like that elite receiver at the top that's in the conversation for the awards at the end of the year.
Yeah, no, I think Chris Hilton is, the big thing with him has always been health, and he's been healthy this offseason. This is really his first offseason that I can recall that he's been able to kind of go full speed and really develop the rest of his game. Everybody knows about the speed and the vertical threat that he offers LSU, but the thing he talked a lot about at SEC Media Days was just being able to be more versatile in his role within the offense, you know, being a short down kind of catch kind of guy, a guy who can be more of a possession receiver this year because of his improved route running. Just watching those two go back and forth between Nussmeier and Hilton, I'm not sure that there is a more natural chemistry that Nussmeier has with another receiver than with Hilton. We just haven't been able to see it on the field for a prolonged amount of time. You know, we got the final two games against Oklahoma and Baylor where they really started to show their flashes there, but I think that if Hilton stays healthy, Nussmeier is going to have a favorite target or two, and Hilton is going to be right at the top of my list for a guy who will get a lot of those targets from Garrett Nussmeier in the fall.
Glenn, definitely my biggest concern, and probably a lot of folks, is the offensive line replacing, you know, four guys, only returning starters, DJ Chester from last season. Just curious your observations or thoughts on this O-line. So far, I know it's really been early on for you.
Sure, yeah. I mean, they've wasted no time going to the offensive line grouping that I think ideally you'd love to see them lean into when that Clemson game arrives. You've got Tyree Adams at left tackle. You've got DJ Chester at left guard. The transfer Braylon Moore at center. The other transfer Josh Thompson at right guard. And then Weston Davis at right tackle. That's kind of a mix of guys who have been in the program but haven't had that experience yet with in Braylon Moore and Josh Thompson's case, two veterans who have a ton of experience. I think that's the grouping that LSU would love to see kind of take off. I would say of the snaps that we saw with the first team, that offensive line grouping got about 90% of the first team reps when we first got out there on day one. Tomorrow we'll get another chance to see this group in a full practice, and I'll be curious if that's kind of the same ratio, if we get that starting offensive line in a very similar kind of rep count. But there are a couple guys that are going to be pushing as well. Carius Kearns, a true freshman that they really, really love. You could see him at left tackle. They obviously have guys like Cohen Echols and Paul Mubanga on the interior. They got some sparse playing time last year in more reserve roles, but they're a year older in the program. Bo Bordelon is a veteran who's been around for 3 years now. He could certainly find himself in the mix at right tackle. So there's a lot of guys that I think LSU is going to be rotating in and out, but that core five there is one that I think is I'm penciling in as maybe the group that ends up starting game one against Clemson.
You know, shifting over to the defense a little bit, I look at this team and I look at all the positions and I can't help but look at linebacker and think, like, you talk about embarrassment of riches on the wide receiver group. Like, when you have, like, basically the entire Weeks family in there, I feel like you're doing pretty good because those are the type of players that you just want to watch and root for. But then you bring Harold Perkins back, a guy that, you know, it's almost forgotten how elite he is when he's out there. I think he's going to be playing more outside linebacker this year, and I think that's a good thing for him because I think that's what he profiles at the NFL level. What is to me, I look at that group and I say this might be the best linebacker group in the nation. Like, would you agree with that? And what are your expectations for that group?
Well, I certainly think they have one of the more talented linebacker individuals in Whit Weeks. Like, I could certainly see a scenario where Whit is, you know, an all SEC, all American caliber kind of talent, and when you've got that guy anchoring the middle of your defense and just the leadership steps that he's taken this offseason have really been raved about, when he hasn't been able to be on the field as much as he's been rehabbing from that broken bone in his leg that he suffered against Baylor. So he's somebody that I have very high expectations for as kind of the leader of this defense and to really anchor things. And when you've got that, you're able to fill in with some really nice pieces, whether it's his brother, Wes Weeks. He's been getting some first-team looks. Devon Keyes is a second-year player who got a lot of looks towards the end of last season as well. I would expect him to rotate in with Wes Weeks at the other inside linebacker spot and kind of have that trio be the core guys at those two spots. And then you mentioned Harold Perkins there. They've moved him, you know, off ball to the star position is what they're calling it, kind of a hybrid between safety and linebacker, where he's going to play on the line of scrimmage, but be able to pin his ears back and rush the passer from the outside, and then also drop in coverage every once in a while as well. So I think they found a healthy balance with him. We just have to see him on the field. I mean, he's another guy that's come back from a major injury from last year, looks to be moving excellently in that first two practices we've been able to see, really no limitations. He's got no braces on or anything on his knee. He's moving really well, and I think he's the biggest X factor on this team. If he's able to finally kind of live up to those expectations that, you know, many people had for him after his true freshman year, that really just takes his defense to another level from a playmaking ability. And that's something that Blake Baker, the defensive coordinator, really wants to lean into this year, is aggressive nature and being able to make some more plays on the defensive side of the ball.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Glenn, I wanted to hop in here and ask you a couple questions about LSU's secondary, and I'll start with the safety room specifically, because when we were speaking with Wilson Alexander the other day about it, he said that Jordan Gilbert and DeMarcus Cooley were the starting safeties. Just, you know, day one of practice, we'll see how things kind of change. AJ Holsey and how he kind of fits into that safety room as a free safety, the transfer from Houston. Cooley, as I had mentioned, was the transfer from NC State, both very high profile guys. And, you know, I know that Jordan Gilbert's been in the program. Blake Baker's got a couple different chess pieces to move there. But it feels like once you get to that Clemson game, it's likely that it's going to be Cooley and Holsey as your starting safeties.
I would agree with that. I think it's just a matter of time in fall camp before Halsey really kind of takes over one of those safety spots. You know, he's a guy that enrolled in the summer, so there's could be a little bit of just learning the system and getting his feet wet without throwing him out there with the first team on the first week of camp kind of thing going on. But they brought him in. He was a top 10 guy last year in the country in interceptions. I think he had five at Houston last season. And so he's got that playmaking ability as well in the back half of the defense. And I think you'll see him. You know, Cooley's another name that I think could play in the deep part of the field, but also potentially be a nickel for LSU on packages where they want to move him up closer to the line of scrimmage. You still got Deshaun Spears, who's a really nice piece, second-year player. Javian Toviano is a third-year player who's finally found a position back there at safety that he's stuck with for an entire offseason. This is a group that I think you look at right now, and there's a lot open. Like, I know there's only a four or five names there, but there's only two spots that those guys can play. And so I think that you're going to see a lot of rotating in and out with those four guys plus Jordan Gilbert. And I think that this is a far from settled group right now. But if you had to ask me after, you know, one day or 2 days of practice, I would still say that I think it's going to be Cooley and probably Halsey that are going to be your two starters against Clemson.
Fun competition for Sherman. And I also wanted to ask you about the cornerback spot because, you know, and we'll see how it progresses over the next few weeks. But man, that freshman and DJ Pickett, I know we've talked to you about him. It's going to be hard to keep him off the field once you get to the actual regular season. But not just him, Mansoor Delane, and how Blake Baker decides to use him in that cornerback spot, the transfer from Virginia Tech. I just want to get your kind of projection. I know it's very, very early in camp, Glenn, but your projection for what the cornerback room is going to look like for week one.
Yeah, I think Delane is pretty much already locked up one of those spots. You know, he was on the first team. He was getting first team reps back in the spring, and we came back this fall, and he was, you know, out there running with the first team again there in the first practice. So I would imagine Mansoor Delane is going to be one of your corners to start the year against Clemson. It's really that other spot that I think is up for grabs, and you've got, you know, Ashton Stamps is a veteran who has a lot of experience now under his belt. He's gone through some growing pains, no doubt. But sometimes if you're the right kind of player and you work the right kind of way, those experiences and those hardships can really kind of mold you into a better player for the next season. And I'll give him credit. He hasn't given up that first team spot yet. Like, they have not really gone to a whole lot of other players at that other cornerback spot. So I think he's certainly in the mix there. I think you mentioned DJ Pickett. I think for me personally, it's just a matter of when, not if, Pickett's in the lineup at the other corner spot. Whether that happens week one against Clemson or week five against Ole Miss, you know, I couldn't tell you right now. But I think the best version of this defense is going to be with DJ Pickett on the field filling some kind of role. So that's just a couple of thoughts there. I think PJ Woodland is another guy that they're going to really try to get some good reps this fall and see how he handles being a first-teamer or a second-teamer rotation kind of guy. And then Jakeem Jackson's the other one I'd be watching for at cornerback. So you got about five or six options there to settle into two spots. But I think Monster Delane is probably the one I feel most comfortable with saying is going to be the opening day starter against Clemson.
Glenn, looking at the main guy running the offense, Garrett Nussmeier, fifth-year senior, expected to have a monster season, that big breakout, I don't know, breakout year, but definitely expected to take that next leap going into this season. Just early impressions of him so far. I think it was day one, at least, he had a heck of a day.
Yeah, he looked fantastic on day one, and you know, obviously the receivers had a big part in that as well. But the 7-on-7 drill that they did outside, he went a perfect 7-for-7, hit all of his receivers in the right spots. They did an indoor drill where it's kind of 11-on-11, but it was kind of a, you know, a walkthrough simulation with the defense, and he hit a beautiful go route to Barry and Brown down the field for about a 35-yard touchdown. Just hit him right in stride, a perfect pass. He looked really good in that first day of practice. And so we got to wait and see what happens when the pads come on. And certainly I think a big part of his season is just going to be about that maturation from, you know, the turnover perspective, using his legs a little bit more. I think he's got a lot of massive potential this year to be one of the best players in the country and obviously a Heisman front runner.
Yeah, I feel like we're kind of just, these interviews, we end up just going down the line. So I don't want to leave anybody out, right? And Caden Durham is a guy, you know, going into his second year. Yeah, I feel like he kind of caught some people by surprise last year. Does he have the ability to be that bell cow in this offense?
I think so. The big thing with him last year was he really got going in that South Carolina game and looked like the big difference maker that they needed at that running back spot. And then he broke a couple toes in the very next game at home. And so that kind of, you know, he was able to play through it, but he just didn't have the same kind of impact that I think you're going to see this year if he's able to stay healthy. And look, he's going to be a guy that gets 14, 15 touches a game, in my opinion. I think he's very explosive. He's going to be your featured back. I think you're going to complement him with guys like Caleb Jackson and Harlan Berry, the five-star freshman from down there and at St. Martin's. But Caden Durham's going to be the guy, I think, for this LSU run game. And look, the other part of Nussmeier being a more effective quarterback is they have to have a more efficient run game this year. And I don't think that's any surprise, you know, to LSU fans who watched last year. They really relied heavily on Nussmeier's arm. And if they're able to complement it with a little bit more consistency in the run game, I think LSU is going to really reap the rewards of that on offense.
Glenn, you got anything you're working on right now we can expect on go247.com soon?
Yeah, just lots of recruiting updates. You know, this is going to be a big month of August. LSU's got a couple guys that they really feel like they're going to finish strong with here over the next couple weeks. And then just, you know, practice reports, you know, features. You know, we get to talk to players tomorrow, so we'll have some in-depth looks at some individual players. So lots to come here as, you know, LSU kind of really gets involved with their fall camp and leading up to that August 30th opener against Clemson.
Always awesome info. Appreciate your time, Glenn. Have a good one, man, and enjoy practice tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Glenn West, senior writer at go247.com, joining us there. Check out all his work. Really great stuff from Glenn. Appreciate the update. You know, you get so inundated with Saints practice, it's a little hard to keep up with the other team up the road.
Yeah, Kellen Moore did make sure to be like, I got to shout out LSU and Tulane. You know, they got going today. And yeah, it's going on, you know. And that's going to be on us fast. Like August 31st, yeah. I think, is the game. Like, that's going to be here before you know it. We're in
August 1st, baby.
We are in that month right now. So it's coming.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.